Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Reading once again, Psalm 2, a wonderful psalm. All of them are, but this one is one that we want to consider again today. Listen to the words as David wrote them, and God gives them to us through David. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's give thanks for these words. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of them. God has given them to us for his glory and for our good. Our Father, we pray in the name of Christ that we might have understanding of these words. Thou hast told us in other psalms and throughout thy word that there is none that understandeth. Thou, Lord Jesus, didst give rebuke even to the apostles, asking them at times, are you yet without understanding? Help us to know that in ourselves we do not have that blessing, that except we be converted and become as little children, we will not be given understanding. Only when we come to that humble place, knowing our ignorance, our helplessness, our hopelessness, and our sin and our unbelief as well, that we can then be given understanding, given what we need to see thy kingdom and to have a willingness to enter into it. And we pray for that, Father, in the name of Christ, that the church again might be revived in that, that it will endure and hold to and come back to these true doctrines of thyself and of Christ and of all that is spoken concerning both thee, Father, and Christ, thy Son. Also the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures that are given by thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that we might understand these scriptures as we consider them today. We pray that we might, all the whole church, come back to the scriptures and be one in thy word, one in truth, one in repentance, one in faith, one in obedience, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ, that the world will believe this message already written 1,000 years before he was born. We pray, Father, that we might have the blessings needed now, in our time as well, for kings and for rulers and judges, as we see them spoken to here, that they won't give them ears to hear in our country and every nation. We pray, Father, for the blessings needed, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in each nation. We pray, Father, for other needs, the temporal needs of those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the sick, the injured, broken homes. We pray for the schools that they teach more and more lies, that they might be brought back to the truth as well, and there might be a church in every nation that will be a salt and a light all through Christ. Amen. As we again consider these words, we have considered them the last weeks. I'd like to consider them again and see the Father and the Son in them, both in the church and the world, amongst heathen religions and part of that which is still called Christian, some of those who acknowledge Christ as a teacher, but not as the Son of God, not as the Eternal One, not as the one who died and rose again, still calling him Jesus, but not seeing him as the psalmist speaks of him here. Sometimes David speaking of the Father and the Son, sometimes the Father speaking, other times the Son speaking. As we saw it in verse 7, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. There are times in the Old Testament that Christ speaks in the first person, even though he has not been born as a human being, not yet taken on him the nature of a man, sin accepted. We here see, as we can see in Zechariah, when he also says, I will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. And here he says, the Lord said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Many times in this psalm that we see the Father and the Son. In the second verse we read, the last part of that second verse, against the Lord and against his anointed. Two, the Father and the Son. In the third verse, We have people speaking against God and seeing the plural when they say whoever the psalmist is referring to and knows that this is being done in his time and is done, sadly, in every generation where the heathen say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. There. That isn't one. They aren't saying his bands or his cord, but their bands and their cord. Even in the heathen at that time recognized that there was the Father and the Son and the Spirit as well. We read again in the 4th or the 6th verse, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I have set my king. He doesn't say, I am set upon the holy hill of Zion, but I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And then, as we already referred to, the 7th verse, thou art my son. Two speaking, one speaking of another. Then the 8th verse, I shall give thee the heathen for thine possession. The Father speaking to the Son, what he is going to do. Another place, Psalm 110, we read, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Here he is speaking much the same way. I shall give thee the heathen for thine possession. The Lord Jesus said while he was here on earth, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There is God giving sinners to Christ in time, before he comes back, before they die. But there also will be, sadly, the time that the Father gives the unrepentant world to the Son to judge. And then, as states in the 9th verse, again the Father speaking to the Son, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So we can see the plural here, written by David 1,000 years before Christ was born. It is no wonder that Micah could say, he whose goings forth had been of old would be born in Bethlehem as the little baby from the Virgin Mary. These things are all in Scripture. Some of them are spoken of as during the present time, as we just quoted from Psalm 110, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. We can only understand that when we think of the words that Paul wrote later concerning Christ, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We can understand that. We don't see the past the same as the present, or the present the same as the future. It's different to us. We're creatures of time, and we move along. But God is the eternal God. All are the same to him, the past, the present, and the future. The Lord Jesus is spoken of in the book of Revelation as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In the mind of Abel, in the mind of other of the saints, he was already the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's why Christ could say, long after Abraham lived, Abraham saw my day and was glad. He knew that his need, those 1900 years before Christ, was met, because Christ would come and pay the price. Yes, we need to see the eternal Son with the eternal Father. Again, when we see the 10th verse, we read, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. He doesn't say serve me, but he says serve the Lord. And then in the 12th verse, those amazing and wonderful words, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And then speaking directly to them, and ye perish from the way. He can be speaking that to each one of us. Have we loved the Son? Have we been thankful to God that he has loved the world and given his Son? So we will love that Son that became a curse for us on the cross, suffered, bled, died, rose again, went back to heaven to the Father, and could say just before he went, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power is given by the Father to the Son. Along the way, when Christ was here on earth, the Father would speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Yes, all things are given into the hands of the Son. That's why, again, kiss the Son. Kiss him as teacher. He only teaches us good. When he wrote to the Laodicean church, he called himself the faithful witness. Faithful in truth, but also faithful in all that we need. He doesn't just speak some truth. He speaks all of the truth. He says, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Yes, he is a comforting Savior. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But for those that don't want to come and find the way of life, the way that glorifies God, wants to stay in the way of rebellion, he chastens and rebukes. So some of them will come. Some will find the straight and narrow way. He pictures himself as the shepherd that goes out into the wilderness and finds the sheep that's lost and brings it back, lays it on his shoulder. Those many, many, many ways in which Christ both describes himself, gives parables, taught of himself through Moses. He could say, Moses spake of me. If you believe Moses, you believe in me, for he spake of me. David is here speaking of Christ. The Father is speaking to Christ. All of that is given to be believed. And it is a word that is the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, that of which Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. I've talked to people who say, well, the Bible is corrupted. No, it's not. Even the proof that we have when we think of the Dead Sea Scrolls buried, found, compared with our present scriptures, written long before, shows that what was written today is the same as what was hidden then in those Dead Sea Scrolls buried long ago or hid in those caves. They're there. And even if they weren't there, Christ's word is either true or false. He either is, as some want to believe, an impostor, a deceiver, or the Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the one whose name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes, he's going to subdue all of his enemies one day. He's not surprised at the rebellion. Here, through David, he speaks against it. He says, the kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands, the bands of the Father, the bands of the Son, the bands of the Spirit as well. We might say also the bands of Scripture. People want to break them. There are those who wrote a few years ago in our nation. As if the Gospels of Christ weren't right. They had another picture of Christ. They got their name, their writings, and some of the weekly magazines that went throughout the whole nation. But they were simply lies. They were there for a time. They were given much publicity. But again, the Word of God stands. I can say personally, it's the only book in all the world that accurately describes me, accurately describes my sin. Not even my church did. No, churches don't always accurately describe sinners in the church, in the pew, in the pulpit. The records are in history that many preachers had to be converted. I think of the words of one who said in the time of the Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards, I was more in love with my own works than with Christ. Oh, how many there are of the seed of Abraham that are still in love with their own works, and how many there are in the church that walk as they did, instead of coming to Christ as he said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's one kingdom of God. And it's going to be that way. God may allow things to go on as we see in this psalm. He allows people to have their derisions. He allows them to be foolish. He allows them to rebel. But in the end, the Lord himself will have them in derision. He will be the one, as we can read in the first chapter of Proverbs, that when he called, they refused. And then in the end, when they know it's too late, then they'll call. And then he will mock. Then he will have them in derision and judgment. It's hard to understand all these things, but they are there in Scripture. They are to be believed. And not only is the problem stated, the problem that fits our nation today, the United States of America, moving away from God, especially when we are in the times of election, proves itself through the years. Each year, each election time, we seem to vote for people that are further from God. Father and disobedience. Terrible. When we should come back to God. God calls us. He tells us to pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. It's becoming less and less peaceable in our nation. Troubles in the home and the nation, as well as in the world. I read of one article this past week in our local paper, where he stated, as we move further and further from God, we vote more and more for people that are in disobedience to God. It mushrooms. It gets worse fast. And when we come to that point that we don't believe the Scripture, we don't bow before the Scripture, we don't serve the Lord with trembling and with fear, as we read here in that 11th verse, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. When we stop doing that, we could be given over to a reprobate mind. We can be given over to such pride. And the churches are even pictured as well, coming to that in the Bible. The Laodicean church. Thou sayest thou art rich and in need of nothing, but knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, naked, and poor. Yes, the church can be that way. It was that way. Christ said so. What does he say of us? What does he think of us today? We certainly can know that the church is a salt that has lost its savor in this nation. We're walked over. It's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. It's first of all our own fault. Yes, we can complain when there are laws against preaching the gospel, especially in our armed forces, and things are not as what they should be, but I'm afraid the fault begins with the church. And Christ said, God said through Peter, if judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And they said, if it begin at us, what shall the end of them be that know not God, and those that don't serve the Lord at all? That'll be even worse, but terrible. For us who have been given so much as we have in this nation, we will be the ones who are beaten with many stripes. It's coming. If we don't repent, if we don't see the sin in the church, in the home, and as well in the nation, it's perishing, destroying ourself. That's why Peter says, or Paul says to Timothy, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. That's what's being done. By and large, those who want freedom to sin are opposing themselves, bringing sadness, broken homes, evil ways, early death, and God's judgment will come. He will do as he said. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But thankfully, an answer. Thankfully, a good way out for those who believe how terrible, sinful, and wicked we are. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Yes, he can be angry, and he will be angry on the day of judgment. Will be the wrath of the Lamb if we don't know these things before that day. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And then those wonderful words, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Trust his word, trust his person, and you will trust in his death as well, and his resurrection, that he had to pay for your sins on the cross. If you're in the church, don't forget it. Remember it. Be thankful for it. Tell others of it. If you're out of the church, come as a lost sinner to Christ.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.